That's what the Quran tells the Muslims to do. Either convert those idolaters who adore a man called Isa, Jesus, as if he were God. Either convert them or kill them. That's in the Quran. Clear as can be. Now, it was especially the Council of Trent. Remember, the Council of Trent began in 1546 and closed in 1563. And the Council of Trent opened the year that Martin Luther died. Luther died in 1546. Over the centuries, since the rise of Protestantism, and they all have what they call, communion. All Protestant churches, have communion. But not one, not a single Protestant denomination in the world believes that Holy Communion is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Not one. What I want to stress, however, and share with you, is what the Church identifies as the benefits or the effects of the sacrament of communion. And these are taught infallibly by the Council of Trent. There are 9 effects of Holy Communion. Every Catholic should know what these are. These effects are produced in any person who, of course, has the faith and is in the state of grace. Each of these 9 effects by now has a library of books written about the benefits of Holy Communion. What I will do now, sisters, is identify first by name each of the 9 effects. I repeat, defined by the Church, and then briefly explain each of these 9 effects. First effect, sustenance of the supernatural life. Sustenance of the supernatural life. Now an explanation. Following the promise of Christ, remember, in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, the most basic effect or benefit of Holy Communion is to enable the one who receives our Lord to remain supernaturally alive. Holy Communion keeps us supernaturally alive. Not once, but several times in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus came back to the same thing. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. Again, Christ says, I quote, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. You may have sanctifying grace, but you will not survive. And again, Jesus, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting. And finally, as the living Father has sent me, and as I live because of the Father, so he eats me. Couldn't be clearer. He eats me, he shall live because of me. And these are from St. John's Gospel, 6th chapter, verses 52 to 59. And no words of mine can, you might say, exaggerate the importance. He remained in the state of grace only as often and as fervently as we receive Holy Communion. No choice. Second effect. The promise of bodily resurrection from the dead. The promise of bodily resurrection from the dead. Now the explanation. In the same 6th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus promised the person who receives him in Holy Communion, I quote, "I will raise him up on the last day." Consequently, receiving the glorified Christ into our now mortal bodies. Our bodies now are non-glorified. Our bodies now are mortal. As you quoted St. Augustine, what shall I call man's life on earth? A living death or a dying life? We are all dying. He began to die the moment we were conceived. Well, receiving Holy Communion is a promise of having our bodies immortalized and glorified on the day of resurrection. Now, while those who are lost will have their bodies restored, but only to intensify the pain. Receiving Holy Communion, therefore, second effect, is the promise, you may say the guarantee, of our bodies rising glorious, immortal, from the grave. Third effect, remission of venial sins. This is very important. Remission of venial sins. As the Church explains, whatever the soul loses by venial sins can be totally restored through Holy Communion. Can be totally restored through Holy Communion. Thus, we can follow through the same comparison as bodily sustenance. The daily wear and tear on our bodies, resulting from effort, exertion, and fatigue. That same effect takes place in our souls. There are strong, healthy bodies and strong, healthy souls, but also weak, as we say, debilitated human souls in need of repair.